Welcome back into the BunSports.com podcast. We're now through week three of the college football season. I'm Jacob Bunn, along with the college football professor. Professor, it was an odd week in the SEC and around the country as we had some games that went the way we thought they were going to go. We had some teams that showed themselves to be dominant, and we also had some teams that showed themselves to be pretty lackluster. And I'm going to start, you've been doing this for a couple weeks now, I'm going to start by asking you what your rotten egg of the week was. And I have a feeling that you had plenty to choose from.
That's right. Plenty of games that were that had a smell to them. But my, there wasn't anything that smelled any worse than LSU getting beat 37-7 by Mississippi State.
Yeah, it really was. I thought that that was a game that showed two different things. Number one, I thought that the play of Nick Fitzgerald, the quarterback for Mississippi State, was exemplary. And I thought he established himself as one of the players to beat. Or players, preeminent players in college football. I also thought it was just a really big letdown for LSU. They have put a lot of their chips behind Ed Orgeron here, hiring him and making him the head Bengal Tiger down there, but that was not a good output for him.
Well, you know, Stanford's got a lot more capital, you know, at this point, but it was a surprising thing for them to lose to San Diego State.
And I thought that another rotten egg that I may throw in there, if you'll allow me, is South Carolina getting drummed at home. They were beaten pretty decisively by a Kentucky team. That is good, and Mark Stoops has certainly done a lot with that program. But South Carolina had opened with two wins over Power 5 teams, North Carolina State and Missouri, and I really thought that they were positioning themselves to be a factor in the East, and they just totally lost it at home, getting beaten by 10 by the Kentucky Wildcats.
I guess you could say that Kentucky and South Carolina were a crossroads game, and Kentucky went right, and South Carolina went left, or we might say Kentucky went north, South Carolina went south.
On the other side of things, what would you say your blue ribbon of week three would be?
Well, you know, the blue ribbon has to be, to me, the fact that Vanderbilt was able to pull out the win that they did against Kansas State. That was a really big game, I think.
They did, and Vanderbilt now is 3-0, first time in a long time. And they beat a ranked team there, and as you mentioned, in Kansas State, it's a low-scoring slugfest, 14-7. They're going to have their hands full this coming week. We'll talk about that game. But yeah, what a great win for Vanderbilt and that program. Any other games stand out to you from week three?
Well, I guess you could say that the Florida-Tennessee game was a low-level, maybe even a ho-hum game, but it turned into high drama. And what a win that was for Florida, and what a loss. Oh, I mean, a big loss it was for Butch Jones and the Tennessee Volunteers.
A team that is often maligned for not having any offense. The Florida Gators found some offense there at the end with a 65-yard touchdown pass to conclude that game. And you're right about Butch Jones. The question now becomes, when does he get placed on the hot seat, or is he on the hot seat, and how much pressure grows in Knoxville as things continue for the Volunteers?
Well, I guess the bigger question, Jacob, would be whether or not the Volunteer family have now come to accept mediocrity and they're not looking for anything any better anymore. That would have a whole lot to say about the safety of Butch Jones.
And there's a lot of mediocrity in the SEC right now. You look at several different jobs and they're just not what they once were. I mean, you talk about LSU. We talked about it a minute ago, them getting beaten by 30 points. And I want to take your attention to two other programs, Texas A&M and Arkansas. Will start looking toward week four now, and those two teams are facing off, and I think it's fair to say both of them have been a disappointment to their respective fan bases. Now, does the loser of this game, does it get fired? Kevin Sumlin and Brett Bielema.
I have to say both of these teams are they're disappointing. I mean, that's a understatement. But you know, when we think about it, I'm going to call – there's a couple of games here. We just call them flat-tire games, and that is Texas A&M and Arkansas, because what do you expect? What's going to happen? I mean, both of them are struggling. But then you go to another game, you know, that used to be a really high-profile game, and that's Notre Dame and Michigan State University. Both of them had a terrible year last year. I think both of them just won four games, each one. And now here they are coming into this game – and we don't know what to expect, and who cares, really?
You're right. That game, when you looked at it on the calendar and maybe mid-July, you would say that's going to be a top game. Not to be. What did you make out of Clemson? They really had a dominating performance. This is the second week in a row now. We saw them beat Auburn, And now we've seen him beat Louisville and really, I think, stop Lamar Jackson pretty cold in that game. Pretty good win, huh?
I think Clemson have established themselves clearly as one of the premier teams. And we'll talk about our top four in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But Clemson, that Clemson-Louisville game was one that, you know, we were waiting with a lot of anticipation. But there wasn't very much drama in the game. It was just one-sided from the start. And Clemson clearly dominated them.
I wouldn't say week four is loaded with top 25 showdowns like some of the previous weeks have been. But I'm going to throw some out at you, kind of get your reaction to the games, the matchups, and what do you think it means for each of these programs with a kind of a rapid-fire, quick response. We'll start with, on Friday night, number 23, Utah, is at Arizona.
Arizona is in a lot of trouble. And I think if things go the way I think they're going to go, Utah will win this game, and Arizona just gets deeper and deeper in the quicksand.
And a bizarre set of circumstances because of Hurricane Irma and just the schedule of things, Florida State, with an early game on Saturday morning, is playing their first game since they lost to Alabama in the opener, and they're playing host to North Carolina State, a team that's 2-1, lost to South Carolina, but a lot of people have high hopes for this North Carolina State team this year, so this is a real intriguing game.
Well, you know, Florida State has had enough time to go to Europe on vacation with Jim Harbaugh since they played their last game, and they're coming back in on a feisty team. North Carolina State's a feisty team, and they could give them trouble. But I think Florida State, if they're the team I think they are, they'll win this game fairly easy.
No test, really, for number 19, Louisville, and number 10, Ohio State. Louisville playing Kent State, and Ohio State playing UNLV. Tennessee has UMass this week, so they get a breather after that dramatic Florida game. Number 13, Virginia Tech, plays host to Old Dominion. We talked about Texas A&M and Arkansas and who might can emerge from that game victorious. And then number 2, Clemson. They should be able to take care of business against Boston College on Saturday.
Did you just tell me that there's a bunch of games that are just absolutely of no intrigue at all?
We'll continue. Miami of Florida and Toledo. That's a game I don't think anybody really cares about. Rutgers, Nebraska. And there are some games. Michigan is at Purdue. Now, Purdue, before you lap this game off, Purdue has had a better start this year than they have had in the previous years. But still, I don't think Purdue is going to be a national contender. Oklahoma is playing at Baylor. Syracuse is playing at LSU. These are just games that I just don't think anybody really cares about. Auburn and Missouri. I mean, you're talking about a game there that is kind of a dog. You mentioned Notre Dame and Michigan State. So let's kind of get into a couple of games that might actually have more consequence. And we'll start in the Big 12, where number 16 TCU is traveling to number 6 Oklahoma State. Big game for both of these teams.
Yes, I think it's a huge game. Now, we have to say that TCU sleepwalked through their last game against SMU. Of course, SMU is a pretty good offensive team, and they lost by, TCU won by a field goal. But they better be a lot more, they better be playing at a lot higher level this week, or they'll get run out of the park.
Number 5, USC, another dramatic win. They were able to beat Texas in double overtime. They have Cal on the road this week, and this is a Cal team that has defeated North Carolina, and they have defeated Ole Miss. So a pretty decent start, 3-0 for Cal.
That's right, and I keep saying that, you know, I keep wanting Cal to prove it to me, and they keep saying, well, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? And I'm still wanting to know what I think of that. I think Southern Cal wins this game.
All right, well, how about number 1, Alabama, taking a trip to the vaunted Vanderbilt Commodores, and they are 3-0. They have beaten Kansas State and a couple of other teams to start the season this year. How much of a test could this be for the Crimson Tide?
It could be a stern test, but it depends on Alabama. Vanderbilt's having a great year. They're much better. You know, we learned early on when they were beating teams they should beat, whereas there was a time back when they would play a Middle Tennessee State and lose, but they're winning those games now. But then they step up and beat Kansas State, so they're for real. They're for real. But I think it depends on Alabama. If Alabama plays to their level, they'll win the game with ease.
2:30 kickoff on CBS for that one. A late kickoff on the SEC Network. Number 20, Florida at Kentucky. Florida coming off of a dramatic win. Kentucky 3-0. They're at home. I think, what's the streak? 25 years in a row now for the Gators or whatever over Kentucky. Can they knock them off this year? This is a pretty good chance.
Now, forget about the what's 25 years in a row. Mm-hmm. This is the year it's going to matter.
Okay.
And Kentucky and Florida, this could be a huge game in the East and the SEC.
I think it could.
And I think it means it means a lot more to Kentucky, in my opinion. However, a loss will mean a lot more in the opposite direction for Florida.
Number four, Penn State. This is the one we'll close out our preview of week four on, is traveling to Iowa. And we were talking before the show, and you didn't have a lot of respect for this matchup.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that Iowa will be able to give them much of a game. But, you know, Iowa has that propensity that every once in a while they just throw a good game at somebody during the year that you don't expect.
It's Kinnick Stadium on a Saturday night. The black and yellow up there, it can get too. So Michigan last year, they went in there and they were beaten. Was not expected. Well, I said that was the concluding game, and I almost left off the game of the week, and that is number 17, Mississippi State, which we talked about earlier, knocking off LSU last week by 30 points, playing Georgia, a team that went into South Bend 2 weeks ago and got a win. They think that Georgia, a lot of the experts think Georgia's the leader in the East. I like their defense this year. Mississippi State, maybe the challenger to Alabama in the West now. Big, big football game Saturday night.
Three or four weeks ago, we wouldn't have looked at this game as being a premier game.
We would not.
But it is. This is quite a game. I mean, both of these teams are capable of really going somewhere, and I think it's a huge game, big pressure. But you know, Jacob, these teams like more Mississippi State and Georgia to a degree. When they're not used to playing in these big games, it's hard for them. They hadn't been there so often enough. So that's going to be the real temptation to have a letdown.
So do you lean toward Mississippi State being able to do it 2 weeks in a row with Nick Fitzgerald and company on the road this time, or are you more in the camp that says Georgia's going to suffocate them defensively and really look strong themselves?
Well, I lean toward Georgia, but there again, I hadn't been given enough credit to the Fighting Mullins any time. So maybe I've done it again, because I said last week that I did not believe Mississippi State could beat LSU, I was 30 points wrong.
They were 34, and so was I, and a lot of people have been doubting Dan Mullen for a long time. I think we need to go ahead and establish he is a good coach. He is doing some really incredible things in Starkville. Well, as we conclude here, final couple minutes, let's talk about the top four and where things stand as a whole. We've talked about Alabama. We've talked about Clemson. I think it's pretty clear that those two are the top two teams. I'm curious to see how your order stands as we were through week three, heading into week four.
Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State.
Really?
That's my top four.
Wow, Oklahoma State. And they have a big one this weekend. So you're shutting out the Big Ten completely. That includes Michigan. You're shutting out some of the other conferences as well, the Pac-12, no USC. That's interesting. And you're buying really a lot of stock into Oklahoma State, Mason Rudolph, that offensive attack. They're going to have to prove it this weekend, but you think a lot of them.
That's right. But, again, they're playing TCU, and TCU, I think, is for real.
So in that scenario, we could possibly see Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. Now, again, a lot of things could happen, and it'll get. But if that was your final top four at the end of the year, we could see that game three times. Once in the regular season, once for the Big 12 title, and then again in the playoff.
Yeah, that's a little far-fetched, but that could happen.
It could. Well, it'll be another exciting week. And again, a lot of these games, they look kind of like, I don't know if I want to tune in for that. But just think, we've seen these kinds of weekends before where we've kind of laughed them off, and they've ended up being pivotal weekends because somebody gets upset. Do you think we might see a couple upsets this weekend?
Well, it might be, but there are not many opportunities for upsets.
You never know. It could somewhere in like a Nashville taking down an Alabama or something like that, it could happen, and all of a sudden our college football would be turned on its head. We've seen it before. Well, we'll be back next week. We'll talk about week four in college football and get you set for another week in week five. But a lot of good matchups next week, too. We'll talk about that. For the college football professor, I am Jacob. And remember, you can take care of all your college football needs at bunsports.com. Just go to the homepage there. You have links to our podcasts, our articles, and any other breaking news, as well as tweets from around the college football world. That's at bunsports.com. Again, we'll be back next week. Look for the bunsports.com podcast, reviewing week four in college football and previewing week five. I'm Jacob Bunn for the College Football Professor. We will see you next time.